Welcome to the Mary Gostolo Girl Ahead podcast, the weekly unique insight into luxury hospitality around the world by those who know it best. Brought to you by JetX, the world's favorite private aviation company.
Jeremy McCarthy heads wellness for the entire Mandarin Oriental Hotel Group, and this is not only for those staying in the hotels, but those who make the hotels work, the colleagues. I can't wait to talk to Jeremy about the luxury of wellness. Philippe Leboeuf, here at Raffles London at the old War Office OWO. What is your prognosis for London for the next few months?
Good evening, Mary. In an egoistic way, I think for us, it's going to continue to every month we see an increase in volumes and in the average rate. But for London, I think we have to be a bit cautious. There are two wars going on. The recent events also in Moscow makes me wonder. Now, there's also, it's true, lots of people that are getting used to all this instability. So who knows? But we have to remain optimistic, I think. But there are some big question marks, so if that makes sense. I think the destination is a proposition that in London is quite unique. When you think of the 9 different outlets that we're going to offer, this also the wellness components that you have not seen yet, but quite unique with Guerlain and Pillar in terms of well-being. It's something that I think for our hotel and for the residents, which we have 85 permanent residents, it's going to be good. That's what I think.
And now to Hong Kong, where we have waiting for us Clifford Weiner, the general manager of the signature 554-key island Shangri-La. Now, there are two really interesting things here. First is that Clifford was brought up in a boutique hotel with only 50 rooms, and now he's gone to mega size. And the other interesting thing is that he is successfully turning this property in Hong Kong from mainly commercial to very definitely leisure. Clifford, the floor is yours.
Thank you. So in Island Shangri-La, we've gone through quite a bit of transformation over the last few years with major asset enhancements and renovations happening. To give a little bit a quick backstory, is Island Shangri-La is a very 33-year-old property in the center of Hong Kong Admiralty, with a very strong business traveler base from different industries. I think over the last few years, especially with the changes, and then as we went through pandemic, there was this very strong realization that we need a second strong leg, which is not only business travel, but also family and leisure travel. So the enhancements were made to really attract those markets, while we want to protect also the business traveler at the same time. So we don't want to shift from one side to another, but rather enhance what we're doing. One of the most recent and most exciting introductions was our family floor, which opened early February. Where we have an entire guest floor that is purely designed and dedicated to family travelers with children between ages of anything from 1-2 years up to 10-12 years of age. We have 21 rooms. 10 of them are very luxurious two-bay suites with 10 different themes. So we have the Hong Kong Traveler, which is a children's room that has a huge tram inside with all interactive components. We have a submarine underwater traveler. We have a safari themed room. So we have all those different themes of rooms. And last week, we also opened the Time Traveler. That is an ultra-luxury three-bay suite with a huge airship in the living, in the children's room. So there's a living room, there's a children's room with an airship, there is a pantry, there is a parent sleeping room. There's a little tunnel door that goes from the children's room to the parents' room for them to sneak through. So there's a lot of incredible components. What is also on this floor very exciting is that we have a club floor for families and children. We have a grab-and-go pantry where there is 24 hours from breakfast to afternoon tea to the ice cream hour at 4 o'clock and the nightcap hot chocolate time snacks and drinks. There's a playroom where we host different activities from arts and crafts, more cultural components to dancing. And there is a hangout room as well. So there's a whole public space which is dedicated where families and kids can play and engage together. There's also a pantry, and that is probably, doesn't sound glamorous, but it's super exciting and people love it. It's where we provide everything that family travelers require. That is from car seats to baby strollers to bottle warmers, nappies, sunscreen, you name it, we have it. So whatever you forget or you don't want to bring along, people can use free of charge as part of the family for amenities and services. So it's taken off fantastic well. Very popular, and I'm looking forward as we're going into the May holiday. 1st to 7th of May will be a long holiday, Golden Week in mainland China, which is very strong in family travel. So this will be our first big test on how we can optimize and maximize the potential of this floor.
Now this is really, if I can interrupt at this stage, you're also bringing entertainers into the hotel, aren't you, Clifford?
Yes, I nearly forgot the entertainers. So aside from the family floor, that it doesn't feel only on that floor exciting things are happening, we have during holidays or festivals, recently over Easter, we have all those live entertainers roaming around the hotel. We had the Alice in Wonderland troupe with musicians, and they will go around during breakfast and in the lobby and play music and give great photo opportunities. And we always blend those entertainers that it's not feeling too childish, and adult travelers feel like they're in a kiddie hotel. So it also blends well into the nightlife, where we have a bar with live band, where people, after a couple of drinks, usually find that quite funny because it is entertaining. So it's entertainment all around.
Entertainment all around. And it sounds as though Island Shangri-La is a really fun place for those who work there, because what fun it must be looking after the family floor on the 45th floor, looking at the entertainers throughout the hotel, which is great for staff recruitment and retention. And, well, it's also fun for the general manager. Thank you, Clifford. I'm talking to Michele Grosso, who is in charge of the Langham Boston, which is an amazing conversion of a bank, the bank, that was built in 1920 as a bank, and in 1981 it opened as a hotel, and it became Langham just a couple of years ago. Many of the rooms are historic. We are actually talking in the president of the bank's office, and Michele is standing in front of a Wyeth of, my goodness, George Washington. Michele, what does it do for business having such an historic building?
Well, a lot of people visit Boston because of its history. For a lot of American school children, they'll have heard all about Boston when they went to school. And so coming to the city, you want to see culture, you want to see history. And so being in a building that is 102 years old already starts that experience. So it's definitely a strong selling point for us.
I'm sure it must, as far as visitation's concerned. And what about people staying here? Do they stay here, particularly at weekends, because of the history?
Yes, certainly. I think a lot of people stay here and they want to eat in Grana, which is the original grand hall of the bank. And so people mention that. So definitely, I think, is one of the reasons. And then we also have a big focus on art. And art is a big thing in Boston and the cultural aspects of that. And we have a lot of local art here. So when people do come to Boston on the weekends, they're looking for that kind of local experience and local history. So it all ties in.
This is a place with character. And I read constantly that young people today all around the world, especially in Asia, want a sense of purpose. They want a sense of belonging to something. And they get value from something that has character. Should be very good for the Lang of Boston in years to come, as these Gen Zs grow a little bit more and spend more money on luxury hotels like this. What does it do for recruitment locally when we're talking about having heritage?
I think a lot of the recruitment we do locally are actually students here, but from elsewhere. They're from other cities, even from other countries. And I think that, you know, anything to do with history of the city helps you to a certain extent. But beyond that, I think it's just trying to highlight who you are and what you stand for seems to be the biggest drawer of applicants these days. If you're perceived to be a good employer or you have good, company beliefs. Having the history and the character in the hotel, a lot of the applicants that I've interviewed have actually been in here to have a meal because they wanted to be in, Grana in the historic room or they attended a wedding here or something. So they were impressed by the history and the decoration of the hotel. So I think every little bit helps these days.
It all adds up. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. One bit needs another, and eventually the whole thing is complete. Grana is the most impressive restaurant. It's the former banking hall, and there's a federal plaque set into the floor. The floor that is 100 years old, the most marvelous marble floor. And now it's a splendid restaurant. It's Italian lunch and dinner and very versatile breakfast. And sitting having breakfast with five enormous crystal chandeliers overhead, you get a feeling of being here in Boston. And of course, Boston has so many special events. When it's marathon time, you've got marathon runners in there. You've got the big seafood exhibition. You've got sports events. Boston doesn't really sell itself as such, but it's definitely a center of the world. It's not just a tea party.
No, it's not. And I think a lot of people choose Boston, whether it's the end destination or it's part of a trip. Maybe they're visiting the Northeast. Maybe they want to go to Cape Cod or to Maine, and they'll start or end with a weekend in Boston. So whether it's for business or medical or to attend one of the events you mentioned, Boston definitely has a good influx of visitors.
We should start an association of historic buildings that are now hotels, and you will definitely be up there. Thank you, Michele, for introducing us to the Lang of Boston. Marlene Poinder is managing director of the Carlyle, the Rosewood Hotel that actually leads the way when it comes to, meeting the right people, doing the right things, working in the right place. It has, ever since it opened, oh my goodness, nearly 100 years ago, and it's still ahead of its game. Marlene, what is the secret of the Carlisle, and what's it going to be doing and coming up with in the next few months?
Well, Mary, good morning. It's great to speak with you. The secret of the Carlisle, I think over almost 94 years now, so we are heading to our first century, is to remain relevant, but also to evolve with our changing guests. The Carlisle has always been a place where people can come and feel safe. We're discreet. There's an irreverence about the people that stay here. There's a sense of having fun behind closed doors. And we don't want to lose that spark of why people continue to stay at the Carlisle. But we also want to introduce the new next young generation. I think we've been very successful with that, with Bemelman's Bar, of course. Post-COVID, people were looking to really reconnect with what the essence of New York is. And the essence of New York is that sense of entertainment, martinis, wonderful live music. And of course, that's what we still create 7 days a week, 365 days a year in Bemelman's. And how we're evolving with Cafe Carlisle, which has also been operating as a supper club now for since 1955, is to still have jazz musicians that play the American songbook and the great standards. But we're also introducing new genres that are relevant to different generations. We have poets, we have chamber orchestras playing now, opera singers, and then rock singers and singers of today's time that are more pop. So we're really mixing things up so that people can still have that wonderful, very cozy live music experience with just 90 people in the room, but they can enjoy it in a genre that they relate to as well.
And how do you introduce people who haven't been to the Carlisle to this excitement? How do you publicize? How do you get them in the first place?
Right. I think, well, we're fortunate that being part of the Rosewood Group now, we also have the Rosewood clientele, but also through social media these days is how we connect with a lot of our first-time guests. And, you know, by promoting our music, our entertainment, our food and beverage, it actually provides that sense of people wanting to come and experience it. The other thing is we also maximize, for instance, our involvement with the Met Gala, which is coming up in just a few weeks. And our hotel is a hotel where a lot of celebrities get ready and fashion houses have a base. So there's a lot of promotion around that. People know the Carlisle is the hotel where a lot of the celebrities get ready, and there's that sense of fun and entertainment. And that's what we play on, the sense of entertainment and what they can expect when they arrive. I think the other thing is, you know, we're a hotel with 54% suites. So it's a very high suite count. So we really do market and put packages together that provide people with the opportunity to stay in suites. At, you know, great value as well. And, you know, so we use that art of entertainment to draw them in. We have a first-time guest program because we know that our first-time guests want to experience what our regular repeat guests do. So all of our team members know how many first-time guests are arriving every day and which guests they are, so that we can welcome them for the first time and spend a little bit extra time explaining to them what the hotel is when they arrive in the lobby.
Now, that's interesting, fascinating. Do these first-timers realize that they're being treated as first-timers?
Sometimes they do, but I think they do by the time they leave, because we do provide our first-time guests with a beautiful replica of the original metal crest and key disc that used to be with the hard keys in the hotel. So when you stay at the hotel for a first time, you get a little card to explain what this gift is so that they return, because they now have the crest and the key to the door, so to speak.
So you are looking happy and you're looking positive and you're looking forward to a great next few months, right, Marlene?
Absolutely. The first quarter in New York has been one of the best quarters most of us have experienced. And the Carlisle, we certainly have benefited from that. And we've had a fabulous first quarter, which is normally pretty quiet in New York. But we certainly, it's set us up for the rest of the year. So the city and the hotel is certainly in a great position to go into Q2 and 3.
I'm going to say that despite your accent, Marlene Poynder, you embody the enthusiasm of New York. New York seen through the eyes of the Carlisle.